On this week's episode, it's a cartoon come to life with the Flintstones. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadrock.
Chris Cabrock.
Eric Sisrock.
And this is the season 9 premiere of We Hate Movies.
Wouldn't it be Sisk Stone?
Sisk Stone's better.
Dino Siska.
Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in as always. And if you're coming back to us as a loyal listener, boy, we missed you.
Yeah.
Back well, from the break.
What? You shouldn't have left because there was stuff all over the place.
There was
live episodes
stuff.
Out and up the ass, they say.
That's true. And there was Patreon offerings as well while we were all volunteering in the Peace Corps.
It's lonely out in sea.
What a good guys.
That's what we call drinking myself to sleep every night these days, huh?
You know what? That's the move, because you're not hurting anyone if you pass out of your own home.
That's right, dude.
That's a Peace Corps.
Up top, this is the new season. We're talking about the Flintstones. The episode, my God, directed by Brian Levant. This film is from 1994. You guys peep the filmography on this guy?
An auteur. I smell an auteur.
I got a Snow Dogs in there.
He's got a Snow Dogs?
Yeah.
So Steve said Snow Dogs, all work backwards. Snow Dogs? Fucking Viva Rock Vegas, the sequel to this shit,
Me correct you right there. The prequel.
You're right. Jingle All the Way, Beethoven, and Problem Child 2.
Wait, Beethoven Un, Beethoven Prime?
Prime.
Correct.
Yeah.
Where First it one. Started.
Welcome to Beethoven Prime.
Charles Grodin's like, yeah, it's ground zero for Beethoven.
And we're all deaf.
Oh, and Eric, you'll be happy to know. You know what this guy's doing these days?
No.
He's about to direct the 8th installment of Police Academy.
No, that's not happening.
That's happening.
Wait, is it a remake or
they're
what?
They're slapping a big fat 8 on
they're
it?
They're putting number
no,
8 on it.
No, they're not. I was watching all these movies. Like, I got up to, like, 2. No, I got up to 2.
I watched all these movies. I got up to 2.
No, I've watched them when I was growing
sure,
up.
Sure.
And I had... I was watching them because I was like, oh boy, I want to do one of them on the show eventually. And they're just all awful. The jokes are, woo boy, they're problematic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you couldn't get past the second one because you got killed in a tidal wave of homophobia.
Yes, I did. And I just can't believe they would put an 8 on the end of it and not just reboot it. Just,
yeah.
Here's why.
Because nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck if you remake Police Academy, reboot it, or just do a sequel, because it's fucking Police Academy, and who could give a shit?
I didn't see that movie, Owning Mahoney. Was that a Police Academy remake?
Yes, it was, actually. Okay. Yeah,
it was about that one Police Academy member who was a degenerate gambler.
Gotcha.
Light on the jokes. It turns out weird, I know, but it's in that universe.
Also... the writer of this movie is even better off than the director in the royalties department.
Oh, really?
Stephen E. D'Souza. Check this shit out.
Oh, I know. Stephen's brother? Or?
What? No, that's Mr. Street Fighter, ain't it?
Well, yes. 48 Hours, Commando, Jumpin' Jack Flash, The Running Man, Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Hudson Hawk, Ricochet, Beverly Hills Cop 3, Street Fighter, Judge Dredd, Knock Off, and the second Tomb Raider movie, Cradle of Life.
That's what you call all aces.
Yeah, that single one. That dude's fucking rocking it. I bet you anything, Stephen D'Souza's got a killer pool in his backyard.
I bet you anything, his yacht is called All Aces.
Before we get started really quickly, we've got some new offerings.
Oh, that's right. Well, we were started, so we'll stop because I forgot about the offerings.
We've started an Amway here at WHM.
I will kill myself dead.
No, you know.
If we have to resort to Amway, dude, I will kill myself.
No, what was Amway?
Again? Oh, it's a fucking scam that your uncle always did where it was like, here's a catalog, and then you can pick a thing in the catalog and pay for it. There was like garbage knives, an alarm clock you'd never use.
It's the fortune that Betsy DeVos, her husband, is the scion of that.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
The offerings I wanted to talk about is we have a new.
What are offerings again?
It's gifts to the Lord.
Okay.
A bunch of new stuff in our T Public store.
Oh fuck, Steve, what's that?
That is our store where you can get a bunch of T-shirts and/or cool designs by friends and fans of the show. That looks really cool and lets everybody else know that you're into We Hate Movies. It does help the show by wearing stuff around, because then you know when you're getting arrested, the cop is like, "Hey, what's that on your shirt?" And it's like, "Oh, that's a fun podcast you should check out."
Gee, can I arrest them too?
They look like they're breaking the law right now.
So it is. You can go. Where can you get that, Andrew?
Go to whmpodcast.com and click on that shop tab.
And I want to go through the new stuff we got, because the people who did it are awesome, and they should also get credit. And we give credit where credit's due.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we've got if you do join onto our Patreon, you'll like the new slick design, and people are like, "Oh, I'd wear that on a t-shirt or on a coffee mug." You can, and that's on the Tee Public store. And that's by Philippe Sobrero, who's done a ton of stuff for the show, always does our commentary art and all sorts of stuff. So to shout him out, he is a world-renowned colorist for comic books. I don't know if you know that.
I wish I could do shit like that, because that means I would be talented.
Exactly. He's got
just one fucking talent, please, yeah. Lord God.
You are useless.
He's got a comic that Eric's going to like. It's called Web of Venom, mm-hmm. V-Nam. Which is
really
the symbiote in Vietnam, Eric.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So which side was he on?
We'll find out. You gotta go buy it on shelves right now. You can find out.
We were dropping Agent Venom.
Yes, Agent Venom in Vietnam.
You've selected Agent Venom.
Yeah. No, I think it was Agent Venom they dropped in that movie. Okay. Shut up, veteran.
You've heard me say "figure it out" on the air a bunch. That's annoying, but you could annoy your friends with a fun t-shirt and/or like backpack. I don't know what you can get on.
There's a few variants too. We got different designs of "figure it out" now up.
Yes, by P.L. Boucher.
He also did our mood. There's a new Muldoon's pub poster that's on there with like all these in-jokes from the beginning of time of the show. You should peep that on our TeePublic page as well.
And you can check out Muldoon's as well. That's a fun little fan site, fan Facebook page that we pop up on from time to time. Just go Facebook Muldoon's pub. You'll find it. But P.L. Boucher, P.L.B.O.U.C.H.E.R. If you Google his name, you'll find his Behance and Deviant Art page.
Ooh.
I don't know how deviant it gets. We cannot endorse any of that.
This person's legit.
We also have a Hillary for Prison shirt designed by our good buddy Dinesh D'Souza. I was trying to think of his name earlier. Dinesh D'Souza. I think he's related to the writer of the film.
That was the joke.
And lastly but not least, Carolyn Nowak, who is a really talented comic book artist, has two cool designs. It's just like really... in her inimitable style of us watching a movie, both regular and in a TV glow variant. That's kind of fun. I'm really excited about it.
Most of my life in a dark room.
And I found her stuff last year. You can pick up her top shelf collection of short stories, Girl Town, which is awesome. It's got Diana's Electric Tongue in there. I really, really love this book.
Okay, so that's top shelf. What is the well tonight?
Low shelf.
Evan Williams. EvanWilliams.com. No. So
just go to whmpodcast.com, click on the shop tab, it'll take you right to the store. Here's the reason I dig on the Tee Public stuff, gang, because it's by design, it's not by piece of merch.
Yes.
So you select the design, and then it takes you into the store, and you can figure out if you want shit on a sweatshirt, a hoodie, t-shirts. Dude, there are fucking baby onesies on there. All you parents out there, when you're at your fucking wit's end, you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, this kid won't shut up, at least they're wearing a killer WHM baby onesie.
Dress your little critters in our merchandise, and then, you know, kids, they shit and puke all over everything. You're going to throw it away anyway.
But Eric, what's better than having a baby in a figure it out onesie? Because what is a baby trying to figure it out,
that's
parents?
True. Yeah, and that's true. What you're also screaming at that kid when they won't stop shitting on the floor.
Yes.
Yep. They shit on the floor.
Figure out how to not shit on the floor,
baby. Speaking of shit on the floor, the Flintstones.
Man, I bet they were shitting on the floor. Not a lot of plumbing mentioned in this.
I think you shit into like a walrus's mouth.
I think it has to be. Yeah.
You hang your ass out a window into like the walrus window and you just shit right right? A big loaf.
Well, because the walrus, isn't that what the faucet, like when they're doing the dishes?
Oh, that's a woolly mammoth.
A woolly mammoth is doing. So maybe like a large bullfrog you shit into.
Oh, God. Then, God. You know what, dude? You know what, Fred? Just dig a hole and make it happen, okay? Also, question, underwear or no underwear in the Flintstones?
None,
absolutely
dude.
None. John Goodman is freeballing it on the set of this film.
No, but here's absolutely.
And they have way more pubic hair than we do now because they're cavemen.
Yeah.
So they're hairier.
Oh, they're not scaping down there.
Right. So they had natural underwear. Like their pubes are so thick, it gets interwoven and becomes sort of clothing.
It looks like a boulder in the middle of a forest.
Listen, Sid, John Goodwin was flashing his shit all throughout town like he was Sharon Stone. And let me tell you, he was no Sharon Stone.
In that case, that would be totally correct. Yes. I mean, look at John Goodman. I love the man. He's no Sharon
Stone.
He's
in pretty good John Goodman shape in this movie.
But yeah, this was, I think they said they filmed this the summer between season 6 and 7 of Roseanne.
No.
He's just working hard. I think that's why he looks so trim. He's working to the bone.
He's clearly doing some cardio. I mean, he's a fat Adonis.
He knew what was going on because he's going to, like, you're walking around in a fucking tank top all summer. Like, you know what I mean?
At least the guns out. Yeah, the arms situation. So we got, of course, yes, John Goodman is Fred Flintstone. Wilma is Elizabeth Perkins. David Tellum from ID4.
No, wrong.
No?
No. Yeah, no. Elizabeth Perkins is
who am I thinking of?
You're big as Elizabeth Perkins.
Big as though. Where did Elizabeth Perkins get to the White House? Though was she on West Wing?
No,
that's a Molly. What's her face?
I got no idea what Mary Elizabeth McCormick. Perkins is. Oh, I'm confusing her with Mary McCormack. It is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
No, Elizabeth Perkins is on that Sharp Objects people love.
Oh yeah, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
You know, it's a little too hot for Sharp Objects. That's the way I've been thinking. Yeah. You know, like give me that. You know, you got murder and like you know family drama. I need a fucking hot cup of coffee for that. I'm not. That is not a hot summer night.
But did they spend all their money on Led Zeppelin tunes? Because holy fucking shit!
I don't know. We both said we haven't watched it. No, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? The movie with she's listening to Led Zeppelin literally almost the entire time.
It's a movie now.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
In Sharp Objects, she's just constantly.
Okay, none of us have seen
it. How much money does that cost?
A lot of money.
A lot of fucking money.
Well, they're using all their Dragon money all these other projects.
That works. You also have Rick Moranis. Was this his last role or one of?
No, because he did a voice in one of them their animated movies that everybody's forgotten about.
He went further down the rabbit hole, though. Isn't this before Big Bully?
Oh, right. Or Little Giants. I think Little Giants might have been after this.
Oh, Christ. Little Giants. Let's see. Where are we? So Flintstones and Little Giants were the same year.
Wow. It's
banner year.
And then Big Bully was 96. Oof, God. The direct-to-video Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves was 97.
I think that was it. That's when Depression set in.
Then there's a lot of animated shit in here.
Yeah,
this is
well,
what I was thinking
that's
of.
That's a free check. You don't have to do shit.
Brother Bear.
That's as easy as recording a podcast.
Well, according to this, though, he reprised his role as Dark Helmet on a 2018 episode of The Goldbergs.
Oh,
Kill Me Dead Again.
I thought you were going to say The Big Bang Theory.
I thought
that's even worse because I know The Big Bang Theory would at least paid him more money.
I thought you were going Robot Chicken there for a moment. Wow. I was worried.
Dude, no. You'll look up, I don't even know, like name a prestigious actor. You're like, oh,
Humphrey Bogart is still doing shit for Robot Chicken at this point.
You're like, oh, I like that Scoot McNairy. Like, 3 episodes of Robot Chicken. The fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
You played Lieutenant Guile on Robot Chicken?
Robot Chicken and a lot of Treasure Sierra Madre jokes.
Vincent Minnelli directed like 5 of their episodes.
Remember that one episode of Robot Chicken where they just use a bunch of Star Wars toys to reenact fucking Key Largo?
Yep.
Great episode of Robot Chicken. Also, it was a Dark Helmet voice only, it says.
Oh, of course.
So there's that.
He's he's Barney Rubble, obviously. And then rounding out the cast is Rosie O'Donnell as Betty Rubble.
And I think she's great in this too.
She's a lot of fun.
She was doing that Betty laugh. Like, yeah. I thought it was a dub at first. That's actually her doing it. It's very impressive.
The laugh is apparently that's what got her the role. They weren't too keen to give her the role, but she auditioned. She did the laugh. Like, you got the role. I think the voice is a touch annoying.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
I know, but
Betty's annoying.
But this is not a Von Trier movie. Like, it's supposed to be annoying. It's supposed to be challenging. It's the fucking Flintstones.
You are making a live action film out of a fucking cartoon. What do you expect to happen?
A soothing fucking voice.
Well, that cartoon didn't have any soothing voices either.
Not a single one. Even the dishwasher was haggard and annoying. Oh, the dishwasher in this movie, my God.
No, that thing is just, that's the garbage disposal.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, dude, that guy gets a lot of play.
Well, that's
big play.
My first thing is we never see the guy who clearly has to kill all the appliances.
Oh, that's a good call.
After they're thrown away.
They should that's have like a Maytag repairman that comes and murders everything.
It's just the dude rings the doorbell and then it's a guy in a fucking black hood and he comes to kill all his animals.
You got another disposable pig for me today? Here we go.
That's a good question. We need to delve into this economy.
Yes.
You know, what is that? You know, like what happens? And I want to see them going to like a Sears to look at thousands of pigs to pick out one to shove under their sink to be the garbage disposal.
Day and night, it's under that sink. That thing has to be shitting, too.
Exactly.
Of course. I think you have like 1,000 cat boxes in your house. One for a cat box for the garbage disposal, a cat box for the fucking vacuum cleaner, a cat box for the fucking car. Like, everything has to shit somewhere.
My car has to take a shit.
That's a deleted scene in Herbie Fully Loaded.
But then they also have to shit.
That's the end of it. He's no longer fully loaded.
These Flintstones have to shit as well, and we've already said there's no plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
So something's eating their shit, or they got cat boxes for themselves.
One or the other.
Yeah, my good man, I'll take 12 cat boxes.
You think it's like a bedpan? Like you just pull out like kitty litter from under your bed?
Yes, yes. So this is 94, 95?
94.
94. This is after both Addams Family movies, obviously.
Both of which are so much fucking better than
I mean,
this.
It's the only time that's ever worked, right? Like the cartoon into... I mean,
well,
it was live action. Well, it was a comic strip, then it was a cartoon, then it was live action.
I thought it was live action first, but I don't know. Anything.
Maybe, yeah, my timeline might be off. But in any event, it was a comic strip.
Sure.
Yeah.
People remember of it is the show. Yes. That's the thing that the movie was being adapted out of.
That's a good point. Because those are human beings you're trying to ape as opposed to literally cartoons.
Right. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Now I'm curious about this, though. This Addams Family business.
Well, that's the next one. No, I don't
Well, wait a second. What are you telling me, IMDb?
Wait, what?
They've been trying to remake. They're going to do a remake. I don't know when it's happening, though.
Apparently
Addams
next
Family
year.
Family 8.
Well, because they were trying to do Eva Green and Oscar Isaacs were supposed to be the leads.
Wow. Yeah, I think Eva Green wrote it. No. It's like, please, someone, just put me in something.
I was in Casino Royale, you know.
Yeah, we remember. God.
Oh, so the bad guy in this movie is Sir Kyle MacLachlan.
Of course, the cursed Kyle MacLachlan. Great on television, really good in movies, but just in some of the worst movies anyone's
really?
Ever made.
Like what? Flintstones.
Flintstones for one. Showgirls
is actually pretty good.
Showgirls is great.
It is, but it's bad. Like you know what I mean? Like it's one of those.
It's corn. Yeah, it's cheesy.
Teen but Trigger effect over here. You haven't seen Trigger Effect?
No, I've not.
That's like the worst of the bunch.
I haven't seen that. The Hidden he's also in, which I think is also kind of good.
I've never seen the Dune movie. I want to get to it, but again, that's also much... At the very least, many of his movies are much maligned.
You're right, you're right.
Maligned. And he's great.
It's maligned, it's malignant. It's benign. Move on.
isn't he essentially playing the same character as in Don't Tell Her It's Me? What? Like the uppity, remember?
He's also in the
uppity villain.
Good. What God, the hell's Don't right. Tell Her It's Me?
It's also known as the boyfriend school asshole.
The Jamie Gertz movie we did, Steve.
Steve Guttenberg as Lobo Marunga.
Yes, now I remember that.
Lobo Marunga.
So this movie starts.
Lobo Oprah.
Oh, God. Holy shit.
Hey, anyone watch the Oscars in 1993?
If anyone didn't turn off for my interminable t-shirt plug, that did it. That was the end of it. Like, yeah, season 9, no thank you. We open with a shot-for-shot remake of the theme song, which I feel like the movie should end right after that. Like, it should be that and then credits and we're done.
This is the fucking mistake, though, Steve, because that's what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. You want it to open... with what we know the cartoon to open with.
Right.
And it fucking doesn't.
With
it opens
Winston's cigarettes, Barn.
Oh, hey, Barn. Let's smoke on the porch. No, it opens with Kyle MacLachlan and Halle Berry, like, hatching the plan.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you're
right.
Just like, what?
Yeah.
I thought I bought a ticket to see John Goodman fucking freeball it in a cat costume. This well, you're fucking leopard print dress he's wearing.
Yeah, but you're not seeing any tapping, and that's what I'm...
what do you mean, sex?
Like dance?
No, with his dick and balls tapping against the cloth. I mean,
the flaps.
I'm not seeing any taps. I'm disappointed now.
So you meant him fucking him. It's like, Jesus.
Kevin, it is a fascinating way in which you watch movies.
No, that's what happens when Flintstone gets out of the bathroom. They play taps. there's Kyle MacLachlan, whatever.
It's the plan is like, Cliff. We're going to have some guy like take the fall. I'm going to steal his money, and we're going to go to Rock-a-Poco.
Yep. Yeah. Everything's called something rock. There's Rock Donald's later in the film.
Oh, there certainly is.
Chev Rock. I mean, like, this is half the movie is rock or stone as a joke.
Well, yep. I'm rock hard.
That was 6 seasons of a cartoon show, Chris.
Also? Yeah, okay.
That's where it's acceptable, though.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry.
Kyle MacLachlan plays, what is it, Cliff Vandercave or something?
Vandercave, yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
And Halle Berry is actually Sharon Stone, but I'm bummed.
You get it?
They tried to get her to do this, but apparently there was a sketch conflict, which I don't buy.
And this is also all presented in the reality that Jesus would have you believe, where man and dinosaur coexist.
Yeah, and talk to each other.
Because there's a dog that's a dinosaur.
I mean, and Fred drives a dinosaur. His job is driving a dinosaur. He's like a dinosaur Uber driver.
I do give this...
Your brontosaurus will be here in 5 minutes.
I give this movie a little credit because the prequel like begins with that one of those brontosaurus is like farting right in Stephen Baldwin's face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there isn't too much scat shit in this. I was kind of waiting for it.
Listen,
but
here's the thing. The one scene in Jurassic Park aside, executive producer Steven Spielrock doesn't go in for the shit jokes.
No.
You can keep those at the door, mister. Wait. This is a Steven Spielrock production.
Who's that?
Oh, his caveman non-union equivalent.
Once he got to Cave Ellis Island, they gave him the name Spielrock.
I was going to say, Steven Spielrock just loves divorce in his movies. He just wants it everywhere.
Little kids being precocious.
Also, the narratives that these two films, I'm marrying them now.
Uh-huh.
Stephen Baldwin ages into Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Mark Addy ages into John Goodman, which... I think you're kind of going backwards.
Yeah,
in
both cases, you're going backwards.
Rick Moranis still looks 17.
Yes.
Yeah. At age of 70 or whatever. I don't know how old he is at this point.
He's up there, yeah.
So we get the Flintstones thing. The whole song happens. It's a lot of fun.
We go to the drive-in where they're going to see Tar Wars.
Directed, did you get this by Gorge Lucas? Come on, yes. Guys, that's funny.
Steven, I saw your little Flintstones picture you executive produced in Sick Fat Joke, asshole.
Did you like that one?
George, that wasn't me. That was Steven Spielrock. You want to give him a call?
You better not have stolen my designs for Subulbrock, because I didn't make the prequels yet.
Man, and you see, it's like we have product placement for the film company within the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Because you have the Universal thing go around and it's Universe Shell. Oh my God, it's endless.
But you know what? Yeah. Fucking Tar Wars wouldn't be Universe Shell. It would be 20th
exactly.
Century Rocks.
Exactly. It would be.
And this is
you're right, Steve.
Bothered the fucking shit out of me. And then I noticed at the end of the movie. We might as well just talk about the end of the movie a little bit.
Yeah, the day is saved.
They're like leaving a theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess which was playing their own story, sort of like Pee-wee's
Big Adventure. Sure.
But then on the marquee for that, it says coming soon, Tar Wars. So.
Oh, shit.
Was there a butterfly effect happen? Or,
I think, dude, yeah, two words, time tunnel.
Time tunnel or... They were going in the start of the movie to see the movie that we are now watching. So we were watching
shit.
A fictional portrayal of the Flintstones.
Oh, wow.
This is now. What
like
you
adaptation.
See now is happening now. People find rocks. People lose them.
There's the weird thing where you see a pterodactyl like flying people like an airplane.
Yeah.
Did you catch what this flight attendant says?
No.
She's like, and if you look to your left, you'll see the Grand Canyon, which will be there in 50 million years.
Oh, right.
What the fuck are you doing? What is
time
is
this tunnel?
Like, dude, time tunnel or like psychic airline?
That you go with double on that one. The fucking at the end with the bird. Even Disney wouldn't do this to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. This movie stinks to high heaven.
All those fat podcasters are doing it again. They're pointing up all these logic flaws in a cartoon movie.
Oh, well, who cares?
It doesn't make sense.
It's not logic flaws. It's just stupid jokes that don't land.
Yes, they are dumb jokes. Speaking of dumb jokes, We Hate Movies now continues.
And this does play out like a Flintstones episode, doesn't it? It feels that way. It's all like, you know.
It does, because it's essentially like a puffed up plot of a Honeymooners episode, which is what the Flintstones was based off of.
Yes, for sure.
I would have loved a Honeymooners episode where it was like all the intrigue at the bus station. Someone's embezzling money. I took an aptitude test.
But that's, I mean, all of this is totally a Honeymooners episode. So the whole thing is
all the Flintstones was too.
We're commuting to work. There's a weird, like, they're singing the theme song to the town.
The Bedrock Twitch, that was from the show. It was,
it's weird either way.
Yes.
Your hometown has a theme song.
Not only that. They have a theme song that has no words. Like, they're singing. There's not, like, a guy on the radio singing, like, I know. It's just them singing it. So this fucking radio station is just playing an instrumental track.
Well,
it's very bizarre.
Either way, it's surf music, which is bizarre.
This whole town is deranged, because we do see a crazy, wild-eyed old man mowing his lawn with a lobster.
Explain that. It should be an alligator. I think. I mean, you're pulling things out of their natural habitats. That's a little too much.
I just don't think a lobster can clamp enough to get my yard, you know, sufficiently.
Oh, those claws aren't sharp enough. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
I need like a bag of piranha or something.
I don't know, man. One time I got bit by a hermit crab, which are just them little tiny ones. Mm-hmm. Fuck me, that thing hurt. I can't even imagine getting bit by a lobster claw.
That happened to you on a toilet seat or what?
I was in a surf shop in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they had these hermit crabs nestled betwixt two piles of Confederate flag memorabilia.
What? To just buy you like poppers?
You can just go down the shore, buy some hermit crabs.
What,
brother.
Really?
Oh, totally. They're in these like little crates. You buy them for like $5. They're dead in 7 hours.
You're just munching them while you walk around the boardwalk?
No, they're supposed to be pets, dude.
So what, did you just climb in there with them, or what?
Nah, I picked it up. It was in the shell. I thought it was empty.
Well, no, the beginning of this movie is about Barney being infertile. All right, that's
maybe it's Betty's situation.
You don't really know what is wrong in the nethers of the rubble house.
Maybe they just aren't sexually compatible.
Maybe it's just rubble down there.
It's an old war wound.
Yes.
We're all good friends here. I would never ask you for money to adopt a child. That is just way... It's too much. It's literally too much.
Okay. Guess we weren't that close then.
Wow. Well, good you wouldn't ask me, Steve, because I wouldn't give it to you anyway.
Hey, Chris, I'm adopting a child.
Oh, Eric, can
money, please.
Wait a minute. No, you're not. You're fertile as hell. I know it.
Oh, no, I am not.
Because part of it's like, oh, thanks a lot, Fred. You know, it means a lot to us. And he's like, don't worry, Bon.
But it's one of those things where, like, you've given him, whatever, 25,000 shells or whatever the currency is. That's sure. Actually the one thing they don't particularly, like, mention is
the amount.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put a dollar bill over Bam Bam's head.
No, I just mean, like, do they actually talk about what their currency is, and I missed it?
God, I think in the cartoon they did.
It might be clams.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, yeah, they don't mention any of that. But it's the classic, like, just don't tell Wilmer about it, eh, Bon? I gave you half of our fucking entire existence.
Yeah. By the way, Bon, I need someone to fucking retile my bathroom. Guess what you're doing this weekend?
Oh, see, that would be the other part of this. If it was a sitcom plot, now he's just working for him. Yeah, Bon, you're going to work it off. Get the old fucking lobster mower out of the shed and cut my lawn.
The whole, like, don't tell Wilma thing, that's another one of these, like, old generation type of thing, like the boomers and stuff. Like, oh yeah, I wear that. I wear the pants in this house. My mother-in-law's a bitch. We'll get to it.
Oh, absolutely.
And oh, the Elk Lodge. It's now called the Water Buffaloes because I'm in a cartoon. But these are important facets of society. All mother-in-laws suck ass. And I belong to a fraternal order.
I was I'm just imagining in my head, like, you remember those old, like, VHSs you would get, like, of just, like, one or two episodes of a sitcom or specifically a cartoon? It's the Flintstones starring my mother-in-law's a bitch.
Oh, no, Wilma, she's dead.
The Flintstones will be right back.
Welp, audience, you read the title.
So Fred's dancing today.
But yeah, to your point, Eric, that's kind of the weird thing that gets dropped here is like it's reflecting the 60s society in the 90s as
which
reflected
was still kind
in the,
of there. But yeah,
yeah, but in so far as the BC era kind of a thing.
Ah, the BC era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before Christ, he's coming up soon. Don't worry.
Well, that's just the weird thing. It's because we're just doing... It's yeah, you're right. It's not like an updated version, which would be weird. I mean, like, is Bam Bam listening to Rockvana? It's 1994.
Wow. Oh, I like that.
Well, that's another missed opportunity. This could have been a prequel to Passion of the Christ.
Oh,
you
shit.
Know, like, he goes and meets a baby named John the Revelator.
Oh, nice.
I don't know, Jesus. Something about you just doesn't gel. I don't like it, but mock my words, Jesus. Someday you're going to get yours. I don't know how, and I don't know if it'll be at the hand of Fred Flintstone, but someday you'll get yours, Jesus.
Hey, Bond, I lost this bet. Now I got to kiss this guy on the lips in front of all these Romans.
Hey, Pontius, that's the guy.
Oh, man.
Turns out it was Barney who was actually the Messiah. And they frame it on Jesus, so he gets crucified.
You know not what you do.
So Fred gets home.
Barney's crucified in that scenario, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets crucified. At the end of the episode, the mother-in-law's up there. Everyone's been nailed.
The crosses are just two really long snakes.
And then, you know,
they're complaining the whole time.
Caesar shows up riding a stegosaurus because whatever, history.
You know what's crazy? There are people that believe that.
They do,
believe
yes.
what you just said.
Of course, yes. A sizable population of this planet, specifically located in the United States of America, believe that a few thousand years ago, just, what, like two?
Six.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
We were coexisting. Fucking, you could fucking have one of your fucking microwaves that's a dog or whatever the hell animal.
Yes.
Whatever
yes.
fucking animal appliances exist to these people. They have a museum down Southway that has a museum where they show like the Stegosaurus was a household appliance.
And I believe, rightfully so, proof that sometimes the universe gets it right, that museum is having financial trouble. One time I was in Oklahoma and we were driving past this coffee shop that was indeed a creationist coffee shop.
Really?
And in the parking lot, they had a fucking stegosaurus, like a big model with like the model of like a kid riding it. So, of course, we got out to take a bunch of pictures and everybody noticed exactly what we were doing.
For the creationist coffee place, did they just not believe that beans were ever there? It was just all ground from the beginning.
I don't know how it played into the coffee business itself because it was Sunday and they were closed due to the Lord.
Well, that's me. Yeah.
So Wilma finds out. She's like, oh, we need a new garbage disposal. And this is a disgusting scene.
Oh, my God.
You show this pig. I mean, first of all, the Henson shop had a bad week when they made this movie.
Nothing
looks that great. It's super animatronic, which, I mean, I guess there is some CGI.
This is Henson?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought this was Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yeah, really. Dude, it might as well be.
Everything should have a fucking quarter slot, man. Like, it's bad.
It's really bad. I guess I was reading that they had, like, not a lot of time and weren't given a huge budget. I mean, you can fucking tell.
Yes.
It is Chuck E. Cheese-level animatronic shit. It's awful.
I mean, like, and there's some CGI in here. It all looks bad, but fucking, but, you know, John Goodman, she's like, oh, you know, hey, Fred, it's me, Wilma, your wife. And he's like, hi, wife. And she's like, by the way, we need a new garbage disposal, but I noticed our savings account is, destroyed. So he goes, you can just fix it. All you got to do is go in there. And he starts fisting this pig mouth.
It's outrageous.
It is disgusting. Yeah.
Just visually, it's like the fat guy from Seven. It really fucking took me out of it for a moment.
And it's like vomit.
It's so gross. I'm just getting sick thinking about
it. And usually you'd get an It's a Living, but I guess because of the fisting.
I mean, this thing is praying for death every day of its life.
There is a great... The pig comes back. We'll get there. But it's
horrifying because there are not one, not two, but three fucking forks stuck inside this thing. Oh, God, what an existence.
But, you know, she finds out that he actually gave him the money to the rebels so they could adopt. We cut to the adoption agency. This is when I thought creationists would walk out because there's a monkey walking around like a man.
Yeah. A couple of monkeys. They're adopting.
Hey. Mr. and Mrs. Henderson. Yeah. Okay? Not monk. Fuck you.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I thought when they said Mr. and Mrs. Henderson, it was going to be like a couple of Sasquatches.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like Harry and
Henderson.
They
should be like missing links. Yeah, for sure. Those also coexist.
Well, he bowls with the missing links.
Oh, well, those are Neanderthals.
Oh, pardon me.
I want a full-on hair guy.
Gotcha.
So whatever, they wind up adopting Bam Bam, who Bam Bam Bigelow, the wrestler, fat guy with a head tattoo.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome! He's wearing a big flame button down.
Me and Bam Bam were adopted by the Flintstones.
I was Pebbles and he was Bam Bam.
Much like the cartoon Pebbles, I had a sick ponytail.
Ew.
Luscious red hair.
All I had to do was dye my little rat tail from the production of Abraxas and just stand it up.
Put a bow in there.
Yup, I got fired from the live-action Flintstones movie playing Pebbles Flintstone because I refused to shave my mustache.
Ew. Dude, they got, I don't know what, they got this Pebbles at a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen discount warehouse. It looks exactly like her.
Dude, I think it might be secret long-lost sister. Oh, they were triplets, and it was just like, listen, this shit will fucking fly as twins, but hey, sissy, you're the third wheel. You're done. Nah. Sissy Olsen, then she was just forgotten about by time itself.
Spielrock has his hands everywhere. He got on early in cloning.
Oh, he's cloning these kids?
Really? I think that's what's happening. I think this is one of, like, you know, in Aliens, they, like, threw away the botched ones?
Yeah.
This one, they just cast him in shitty movies.
Well, it looks like a cross between, like, an Olsen twin and fucking Pippi Longstocking. It is unsettling, this little girl.
So was Spielberg behind, like, the Culkin farm?
Yeah, and, like, he did hybrids. That's probably what he got Pippi Longstocking. And
Welcome to Culkin Farms. We make our own cheese, we bake our own bread, and we clone our own kids.
You want a young boy?
You want a precocious boy? He screams a lot. I can get you that.
Here's the greenhouse where we grow our McCoys. They're going to be coming in a couple months.
Oh, bad crop. Got a bunch of Kierans here.
Here at Culkin Farms, we raise all our kid clones pesticide-free.
Feel free to take a Rory on your way out. Thanks for coming in.
And so Bam Bam shows up. He's super strong. It's annoying. The rebels kind of get to know him. I do think Rosie O'Donnell's really good in this movie.
Doesn't Rick Moranis get thrown out a window in this scene?
He's super strong.
Yeah, that's right.
Andrew. That's how that's sort of.
Oh,
right?
Bam!
What
Bam
did they say? He was raised
strong.
By what?
Oh, yes, it was some type of
Neanderthals or
no,
something.
No, it was a straight up animal of some type.
Not pterodactyl, but like something of.
No, it was like a mammal.
Yeah.
It was raised by Trumps.
Oh, good God.
The blonde hair on Rick Moranis is a little unsettling.
It's very weird.
Weird. You put him in a different fucking shirt. He's in Repo Man now. You know what I mean? It's very punk. And also, John Goodman has my haircut, by the way, in this movie.
I found them. Thank you, Zeb. Raised by mastodons.
There it is.
Bam Bam was raised by mastodons.
You know what, by the way? Just thinking on Rick Moranis' hair for a hot second. It's basically the Rick Moranis haircut dyed blonde. Where is the Barney Rubble mullet?
Well, he didn't have a mullet.
He kind of had a little bit of a mullet, didn't he?
Well, it was just like, it was a flop over kind of
but
a
the
sitch.
Back kind of went down, did it not? Or was it cleaned
that's,
up back
that's
there?
That's when he was a cop in the 80s.
No, he actually did.
He was a cop for a little while.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, there was one of those reboots of the Flintstones.
Wow.
Fred and Barney were cops.
Explains a lot.
It was like End of Watch.
Yeah, I think that was your cocaine.
it was like bright, and instead of an orc cop, there was like a dino cop or something.
The cartels have to pay, Bon.
Oh, you're totally right, Steve. Yeah, all right. I guess I don't know why I pictured him with a mullet.
Oh, dude, Bad Lieutenant Flintstones. Fred is jerking off under a fucking car window.
Give me some kibble, Bon.
Got money on the Mets.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention about Elizabeth Perkins playing Wilma.
Sure.
She is so good doing this Wilma voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought for like the first 2 or 3 minutes she has screen time that it was a dub.
Oh, really?
And I thought I was living in a cartoon.
It was. I mean, the casting in this movie is good, you guys.
Everyone does a good job. Everybody. We do this a lot with these kinds of movies, these like big, whatever, high concept, like low reward kind of movies where like certain people don't get it or don't care. You can't say that about anybody in this cast. Literally everybody, even Halle Berry, Kyle MacLachlan is doing a good job. Dan Florek is doing okay.
Go to bed, Fred.
Dan Florek's playing Mr. Slate.
Yes. He runs the SVU, the SVU rock.
There is a scene that they added after the fact that we are around, so let's talk about it. The bowling championship.
Mm. It's directed by you know who? Who did the reshoots on this movie?
Whoa.
Murder Francis Man? Ford Coppola.
No, close. Spielberg's pal, John Landis.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. It was during his dark, his banishment.
Which continues rightfully so to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that, though? That's what I can get you. Like, I'm fucking Steven Spielberg, and all I can help you out with is an uncredited directorial scene in the Flintstones movie. Goob!
You know, it was either going to be a bowling alley scene or a pterodactyl scene, and he was like, you know what, John? Let's do the bowling one instead.
John, just don't tell Universal. Do you got another name? You got a second idea? I can.
Yeah, let's use Max Landrock.
But yeah, so this is a bowling alley scene. This is a very, you know, you get the Elks Lodge. Is the Elks? Did I make that or no?
What it's based
water
off.
Buffalo.
Water buffaloes. They're, I think each other team they're playing has a different animal representing their lodge.
Yeah,
where
but
they
I think
go
in,
to talk about He-Man woman hating and whatnot.
In the Honeymooners, though, it was the Moose Lodge.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And the Elks Lodge is a real life thing that my dad used to be a part of.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather, too.
Yeah.
I think the water buffalo thing is also from the cartoon.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it definitely is. They lodged it up.
And so even the Fred's famous bowling stance with the twinkle toes thing, and you get the Hanna-Barbera noise of him going beep, 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 beep.
The sound design is great here in this movie too. Like they hit all of those things, like the feet pedaling with the car also works.
Yeah.
But the most disgusting part of this scene, did anybody else throw up at this when they win the championship?
Oh, I threw up the entire film.
It's their team is it's Barney, Fred, and then a bunch of cavemen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
They all are like,
and Bull from Night Court, my friend.
Oh, yes. Richard Mall himself is in this movie. They all do like a bobbing for apples move in like a big goblet of beer.
I think it was milk. It was white, wasn't it?
No, that's the foam.
Yeah, the foam. Okay, dude. I might have been pissed then.
Dude, it's the fucking Stone Age, man. They are making beer the best they can. Milking dinosaurs.
I thought you were going to...
No, that's not how that works.
Fermented milk.
I thought you were talking about the consistency of when John Goodman starts sobbing at the stupid poem. It's like he's crying snot.
Yeah, it's a very viscous cry.
It's really gross.
Well, Barney is like... And it's kind of amazing because nobody wants to fucking hear this. We're all just out having a good drink with the buddies.
Tear duct. Didn't evolve yet. It was just mucus ducks.
Oh.
Just spraying snot.
A bit of history in this.
Sorry, movie. Steve. Please continue.
He's like, you know, my friend Fred bought me it a kid, so
I could do whatever I want with it, too.
Anything I want. Anything.
You're the best, Fred. And then he's crying fucking snot, and boogers are flying out of his eyes.
Oh, no, Liv. We just went to the Rubble's house. They got a child farm. They got Bam Bam lifting cars for money. It's disgusting.
Yep, I heard about the Rubble farm. Has nothing to do with the Culkin farm. I'm going to be moving these boxes while I'm talking to you. But it has nothing to do with us, the good people at the Culkin Farms. You can look us up. We're in the book.
My name's Ice Age T. I'm in the Flintstones universe.
Yes.
You want me to wear what?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But yeah, he gives this whole speech about my dear good friend Fred, and everyone's just very uncomfortable.
They're like, dude, this is a fucking bowling alley right now. We were trying to celebrate a championship win.
And later, Barney like starts to make another speech, and Richard Mull's like, God, is that another fucking speech about Fred? Jesus.
God, let's beat him to death and eat his body. We're cavemen, right?
So yeah, they win this big bowling trophy, blah, blah, blah. There's a contest at work to see who's going to be the next junior executive, i.e. who's going to take the fall for Kyle MacLachlan's scheme.
That's right. And so it's this whole, this is where like it's a major honeymooner's thing. Oh boy, here comes a promotion. I'm going to be a big executive now.
Right.
Oh, that's because Elizabeth Taylor treats him like shit.
Right.
Oh, that's the motivation.
Final
right.
Theatrical film performance, Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wilma's mother. Who is a mother-in-law who therefore
is terrible.
Yes, is a
but
villain.
But this is another classic cartoon character, though, man. Pearl Slag Hoople herself.
I will take your word for it.
She was all over this cartoon.
Was that English you just said?
Pearl Slag Hoople.
Slag Hoople.
Yep. Slag Hoople.
Slag Hoople.
Wilma Slag Hoople.
Is that not a Swedish band as well?
No, that is the discredited Steel Dust here, and I did not slag Hoople.
The Slag Hoople dossier is garbage.
It's kind of outrageous, man, because this is like John Goodman is screaming in this woman's face.
It's uncomfortable for a bit.
It's really weird, and it's also because like this is like the family dynamic we've set up, which it's thoroughly rooted in the 1950s and 60s. Like he's screaming at this woman, and Wilma's just standing there like. Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
It's a you should have married the other kid from the neighborhood who's doing right. Very well these days.
Yeah, oh, blah, what's blah. Old Johnny Bedrock up
fucking
to?
Talking about prehistoric. These jokes, my God.
Is this where we find out that like that Wilma came from like a cult family?
What?
Wait, what?
No, remember,
she comes from a rich
this,
family.
No, but she makes this joke about how like
Fidelia.
They sacrificed Wilma's brother to the gods.
Oh,
wait,
yes.
What? I missed that.
Yes, it's a... Oh, fuck. Cabin's right. I don't... It's a weird...
Wilma is in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, essentially.
She's talking about, like, the sacrifices that the family made on behalf of Wilma. And it was like, you sacrificed X, Y, and my brother Larry. So it's like two animals, and then the button on the joke is, and my brother, whoever the fuck. And you're just like, wait, what?
To who? Like King Kong or something?
Whatever they're worshiping back then. Yeah, to King Kong, maybe.
Some sort of tiger god, maybe. I don't know. The sun? That's a possibility.
King Ring, the lizard king. I don't know.
Lizards or tigers, I could get behind. You want to start worshiping those? Yeah.
Godzilla. We'll worship Godzilla. How about that shit?
Dude, if it turned out that Godzilla was real, I'd be praying to that thing. Are you kidding me?
You know,
just in case. You never know.
Godzilla's too, you know, known. I want like an unknown underground lizard.
Oh, an indie lizard?
Yeah, exactly. I want an indie lizard.
Like you want Tremors? You want the Tremor monsters?
He wants a lizard that's going to pester him to read his zine.
Exactly, yes. I want a lizard that will give me a great mixtape.
A lizard who's been to at least 5 Fugazi shows.
There's an aptitude test where Fred does very poorly because he's really stupid.
He's playing him dumber in this movie than he was supposed to be in the cartoon. He's like Homer Simpson stupid.
Yeah.
He's really stupid in this movie. And I was sitting there the whole time like I didn't remember the cartoon character, the beloved Fred Flintstone, excuse me. Being like just barely functioning, but this is how they play him in this movie. He's like, "Dad, I don't know, Bud. What's drinking water have to do with anything? What do you mean breathing?"
Yeah, Bud. And then I met the president again.
But also, this doesn't make any fucking sense. Like the whole thing is, Kyle MacLachlan is giving this test,
yes.
And at the end of it, he picks the one who did the best?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like, the idea is you're looking for a patsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be more interesting if they just played it straight.
Here's the thing, Cabin. I think because he's got to file the paperwork on this aptitude test.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
and he's like,
true?
Look, these are all guys that dwell in this quarry anyway. How smart can they be?
there's so Barney realizes that Fred did very poorly, that he's like, well, we'll switch the names. I do owe him for that kid I have, which is weird. Like, he's like, I'll never be able to. There's a lot of like thought bubbles. Like, how could I ever pay you back? It's like, you know, if you get that job, you can like literally pay him back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leave it on the money, man. Don't like just exchange a service for another service kind of a thing.
You're going to be too bitter for the rest of your life. Barn, yeah. You're lucky everything works out the way it does.
Well, thank God it's a Flintstones episode.
Yeah, I mean, thank God his child's almost killed. That's
sorry,
great.
Barn, I can't help you with your end-of-life care. You should have got a better job while you could. That's capitalism.
That is exactly what it is.
Betty's got dementia. It's a fucking living hell over there at the Ruffle household. Man. We need living hell.
Speaking of capitalism, the debt is piling up because Bam Bam, at one point, they go to a store and there's a bunch of crystal plates get smashed up from, you know, the ensuing Bam Bam. And obviously the store proprietor just moves that debt onto this poor woman that had no control over the situation.
This is way later in the film after Fred gets the job and they're all fucking rich because then Wilma's like, hey, big boy, put it on my credit card kind of
thing. Right. That's a classic Flintstones joke because women with credit cards, charge it.
Yeah,
that's a classic Flintstones joke.
Women be shopping.
It's a classic Sinbad joke. Dude, Sinbad would have been great in this movie. He would have been.
You
would have excelled.
What, didn't Sin Rock do a pass on it? Yes.
Sin Bedrock.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so you know who? I'm just looking at notes because, like, I watched the movie and then like read things about it at the same time.
Sure.
For fear of paying attention the entire time. Jim Belushi was offered the role of Fred Flintstone.
They said he was too skinny. It's the only time that's ever happened. I'll take it.
Well, because he had a blood pact with Joel Silver, but then Joel Silver left the production.
Well, Joel Silver was involved. Richard Donner was supposed to do it. And then, he got this script where it was like during the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, Fred and Barney going up and down the coast looking for work. And
the Grapes of Wrath.
And I just imagine reading this whole script like, the fuck did you waste your time for? No, we're not going to make this.
Well, this...
It's a fucking... Flintstones movie. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's really bad, by the way. Yeah. Was that also a prequel?
No.
Or was the whole fucking family with him?
I think the idea was like they had to leave the family to work.
It's literally like Grapes of Wrath. That's what he compared it to in the trivia.
That's really stupid.
And they just go to camp with the family.
Donner being like, 200 pages. You wasted 200 pages?
200 pages and there's not a bomb on a single toilet?
Oh, there's a bomb on a toilet.
Eat Dino on page 10.
They fucking had to.
We're not going to make this movie.
I love that. I think, at least for a while anyway, it held the record as having the most screenwriters working on a single title. And it was like 35.
Oh, my God.
And it came out so great.
Well, their work shows, by the way. Their work really shows.
Well, actually, But I will say that Belushi would have been too much for this movie because he would have been a little too nasty to Wilma. Like, you know what I mean? The chemistry wouldn't
imagine
be...
Jim Belushi giving it to Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh,
just
man.
Really
yes, exactly.
Laying it in.
Damn it, do you stupid hooker.
Exactly. You're just a dumb bitch rock.
Hey,
what?
Jim,
I put rock at the end of it.
Jim, that doesn't excuse it, and we're cutting that whole the sea rock thing. I'm not going to say it again. But it's rock.
How about sea stone?
Sea stone down by the seashore.
So Barney's got these fucking Ten Commandment tablets that they did this test on.
Sure.
And he's like, let's do a solid for old Freddy boy. And Rick Moranis flops the two tests in the envelope and turns it in. Turns out he got the highest score, but it goes to Fred. Fred gets this promotion, and he is indeed in this executive training program, which has absolutely no training time attached to it.
No.
He's in the fire face first.
We're taking some digs at corporate culture here, I guess. Not really at all.
I mean, we're kind of showing how like great it is in a way because it's just like... oh, look, you're like a factory worker. This is called a desk.
Yeah.
And you sit at desk.
Even better, the suggestion is really like, oh, don't bother going up there. You're going to hate it. You're going to fucking hate it up there.
Yes.
It's better that you stay where you are. That's a better place to be for you.
That's
not to take money from us. Just don't do it, okay?
That's the end of the movie, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, like, really fucked
very
up.
Very bizarre.
He's got a Dictabird, which this is the most fucking Rainforest Cafe looking thing of whole damn movie.
This thing took my fucking mozzarella sticks order once before, I'll tell you that much.
This thing has got fucking C batteries in its back. Like, dude, just turn it around.
I've seen better shit at the back of a Toys R Us, man. This thing's terrible.
But this is actually a Flintstones actor, the guy who did the Great Gazoo.
Oh, Harvey Korman, man.
Yes. Royalty.
But by the way,
Dum Dum.
Has anybody who has seen the prequel?
I did, but many moons ago.
Alan Cumming plays the Great Gazoo in
the Great
movie.
Gazoo. Nightmares about that image of him as the Gazoo. God,
because it's him dressed up like in face paint. Like it's the little, whole thing.
Yeah. He's like little, right?
And then they just make him small, but it's not like a cartoon. It's Alan Cumming dressed up like a fucking bad Halloween costume.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth. It's a stay tuned, then, is what it is.
Yes.
It absolutely is.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I even think that the cartoon should be on AD one of these days, Animation Damnation, which is a Patreon show we run.
You know what's a horrifying thing? When he's told that he's given this promotion?
Production?
Can't talk tonight. When he's given the promotion,
uh-huh.
He does a yabba dabba do, and he fucking floats in the air. I don't think so, live action movie. Some shit just should not transfer from the cartoon. John Goodman on a fucking pulley getting hung up in the air.
First of all, two pulleys. Let's
and that shot inspired The Matrix.
Did anybody notice, by the way, the morning that Fred Flintstone has to start this job?
Oh, yeah?
Quite clear to all the adults in the theater that there has been a celebratory "you got a promotion" fuckathon in the Flintstone bedroom the night before. Oh my lord!
There's no windows in this world, sir. The smells are wafting over. Homes,
the smells, the sounds.
Definitely the sounds.
Yeah, there's no windows. It's holes in rocks are what's protecting
primal
you.
Primal rage, just the oh my lord.
Well, that's how people know not to mess with his stuff, is the noise, the sex noises, and the sex stank. I gotta rub my musk on the doorway or else someone's gonna steal my wife.
Yeah, you don't want to get on Fred Flintstone's bad side. I see what he does to things he loves.
So to be fair with the sex stuff, yes. Halle Berry is very dangerously close to a "I got kids here."
Oh, 112%.
I mean, she looks great. It is awesome. And she's actually really, really good in
this movie.
Another
one of these old stereotypes. Yeah. Like, oh, the fucking hot secretary. Oh, yeah. Oh my fucking God, Bart. I can't even fucking control my dick.
I got a secretary?
Hey, Bart, I jerked off at work today.
Hey, Bart, can you come to my office?
Hey, Bart, I threw up on the bus today.
Bon, I need you to come to the office. Yeah, no, I'll tell you when you get here. No, all right. Bon, she's dead, all right? Is that what you wanted to hear, Bon? Now come help me.
And you got
to
get rid of this Dictabird, too. He's going to talk.
I'm going to feed him to the raptors.
Well, it's great that DNA evidence didn't exist yet.
Oh, no, my mother-in-law fell down a staircase again.
My mother-in-law, she fell down the staircase. An owl flew in the window and scared her, and she fell down the stairs. It's the plot of the true crime documentary, The Staircase.
Michael Peterson Rock.
Oh, my brother-in-law, huh? Oh, well, he fell in a wood chipper, which is actually just a big snapping turtle.
Oh my God.
He gets the lay of the land. It's very much like he's signing a bunch of stuff he's not looking at. He learns this Dictabird, we talked about a little bit, is like the snooty bird that will, you know, take dictation for him and will repeat it. But he's also just a sentient dude. That's the thing though. Like, in the Flintstones universe, like, you're never alone. It's very uncomfortable. Like, you know, here I am in my office, and here's this, like, dude. This, like, dude bird who's like,
we want
hey, man.
What you want. Civilization.
Exactly. You know what the dude bird reminded me of? And I know it No, it totally reminded me of this. The butler from The Nanny. Mm. That dude, yeah. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. That guy's just always in the background fucking criticizing you endlessly in an English accent.
I just had David Warner in my head the whole time.
Oh, that, yeah, he could be a now we're talking
he
David
looks
Warner.
Like David Warner.
Jesus. So capitalism gets seeped into the first things first. He has to fire Barney Rubble because Barney got the lowest score on the test.
How did that happen?
Because Fred's stupid as dirt.
Yeah, they switched tests. Mm. There you go.
And that's a weird...
It's like the Fugitive Rock when they switch the sample.
It's like strangers on a test.
I love how that was not in any way a Flintstones pun, but still a totally welcomed joke.
It worked.
Crisscross. So then another fucking horrendously awkward social situation in this movie. Fred comes home from work from his first day, and they're throwing him a congratulatory party.
Yeah.
And he's like, Fred, come on in, buddy old pal. I got you this briefcase.
This is insane. This is the most pig-headed thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He fucking,
throwing someone a party?
Yes, that's all also rude. I don't like surprises. But... he's handing him this briefcase. This is a gift. Like, you're promoted. Like, yeah. You should have this briefcase. It's got your initials on it. No, I don't want it. He keeps refusing it.
Yeah.
Even though it's monogrammed for him, he keeps refusing
it. Everyone's looking.
Just take it and tell fucking Barney that he's been fired later. Don't just say in front of everyone while you're receiving a gift for your promotion that you were firing your best friend from his job.
Guy's got a pebble in his fucking brain. What are you like? Come on. He doesn't know this shit.
It's true.
He's fucking dullard. True. Did anybody see his record collection?
Oh, Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen, yeah. Bone to Run. And T-Rex.
We were bone to run.
He's got T-Rex.
He's
wow.
got T-Rex.
Oh, T-Rex. That's fun.
Wow.
Electric Lizard or something. I don't
know. Oh, man.
Well, that makes sense because there was that shit. What was it called? Anyway.
Well, then also the house band of this movie for no reason.
The BC-52s.
Man.
It's a lot.
Fred Schneider brought that outfit from home. I guarantee you that. Like, don't worry, I've got it.
Like, all right, so Fred, we need you to come in for a fitting. No, don't worry about it. It was just Halloween.
Loose fit, tight fit. What you want, gents?
I would be totally 100%. This sounds crazy. I'd be totally 100% fine with like a spinoff movie of just the B-52s on the road throughout the caveman era.
Yeah, you know? Man.
We get to see like fucking like truck stops or
dude, here it
whatever.
Is.
Uh-oh, this is not a hip town. Better skip it.
Yes, exactly.
And then
you hear
what it is.
The Flintstones run noise and they leave.
Here's what it is. You just take the exact plot of Almost Famous.
Oh, yes, right.
But just
exactly.
Use the BC-52s. It's a lawn mowing lobster.
Well, this is during that montage of just them doing rich stuff.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Where
yeah.
they're going to like...
fucking in a hot tub like it's a VH1 reality
show. Buying Liz Clairbone.
Barney gets fired, but Fred and Wilma let them stay at their house, which is very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and then we get the rich montage.
They add a story to the house. They add so much, and their worldly possessions increase, and it's... I guess everything's coming up,
and they're,
Fred.
They're rubbing it in the Rubble's face.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's this really, the first scene where he's like, oh, hey, Bon, you know, what's mine is yours. I'm making you a steak. Uh-oh, the dog's got it. Better go catch it.
Yeah,
and he just like, got to watch his dishes.
Hope you like it rare, motherfucker. Yours is getting away, asshole. Go get it out of the fucking dog's mouth.
You know, Bon, Dino's mouth is cleaner than our own.
Especially back then.
Barney, how do you like being my butler?
Yeah, it's a plot from Sign Rock, but don't worry about it.
Oh, and it's during this rich montage where we get the new garbage disposal, the lean, clean,
oh, right.
new thin.
Which is only slightly smaller than the used model.
I just want them to show the other one being put in a sack and thrown in the lake.
Well, my favorite one is where we see Fred flying on Jeffrey Epstein's pterodactyl.
Oh, yes.
That's the best of the bunch, yeah. I think.
Where's the thing where there's like, I think this is right after, it's in this We're Rich Now shopping montage, because the montage sort of ends with Bam Bam fucking up the China shop.
Oh, right.
And they go out into the parking lot and everybody's like, get the fuck down! And it's a pterodactyl. And the gag is like, it's like a bird shitting on a car.
Yeah, oh, dude.
But this bird, it's like fucking Richard, what's his face in Ghostbusters getting douched with all that marshmallow
oh,
shit.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no, no. They make a point earlier, one of fucking the newspapers he holds.
Yeah.
A fucking pterodactyl ate a whole rugby team. Like, oh, those yes. things Whoa. Can just fucking eat people.
Why they the hell is rugby a thing that exists in this world?
It's not even rockby.
There's a, I mean, it's a gag in quotation marks, but one of the headlines on the newspaper is Middle East peace talks fail. Did anyone else see
yes.
this?
No, I missed
it's
that
a
one.
It's a tale older than time itself.
Krakatoa.
No, it's BC, so it doesn't work out. It's fine.
And the sub is like Krakatoa erupts east of Java. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
They
okay.
also make
You're
a
going
gag.
Too far.
One headline I did grab was. There's a gag about that plane crashing in the Andes and they yes. have to eat each other and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Hilarious.
That's, I guess, a pterodactyl crashed on a mountain.
Rock 9/11 happened.
It's a rock 9/11. Boom, 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 boom.
Jet fuel can't melt rock beams. Why am I singing this song?
Well, the weird thing is they do go to a club eventually when the B-52s are in this movie.
Right.
But it's not all of the B-52s. It's only, like... Fred Schneider, one of the women, and some other dude. Like,
well, I think at this point in their career, the second lady, there might have been a falling out. Because the other dude...
I just feel like she was like, nah, dude, I'm good.
No, man.
But it's the Flintstones!
Dude, listen, if you are in the fucking B-52s, you will indeed appear in the Flintstones yes. movie. Don't even worry about it.
You were born to do that yeah. at that point.
It's either this or the Snorks, baby.
Oh, man. Ooh. Dude, Snorks live action.
Yeah, where's that?
Well, mm-hmm. if we can do the Smurfs now, you can do the Snorks.
I guess we'll see how Aquaman does. I mean, maybe that's going to be an extended universe.
Right, yeah. And Aquaman's fucking some Snorks. He's getting some...
Yeah! I keep forgetting that I have to not care about that Aquaman movie.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
I just forget that it even exists.
James Wan's directing it. I'm kind of into it. But also, if he doesn't, like, he's a kind of guy who has to listen to nothing but late Metallica. That's his character. And really? If it's not there, I'm sorry. I'm out.
Oh, I thought you were talking
Saint
about...
Saint Anger, motherfucker!
I thought you were talking about James Wan.
No. No Aquaman.
There's a great thing where,
Metallica Rock, that was right there.
Oh, yeah. That's true. There's a great thing where...
Oh, no, Bond. Metallorock's Brontosaurus tipped over. They're short one basis.
Oh, God. And now we got Naprock taking us for our... taking all of our clams.
Hey, Bond, they're going to play Enter Sandrock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's an alternative montage where it's like Barney's got a bunch of bad jobs.
Oh, yeah.
One of which is he's a crash test dummy. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. That's sad. Well, at this restaurant where the BC-52s are playing, it's like a weird, like, we're going to take our friends out for a night on the town. Boy, Bond sure is late for dinner. And then, like, Barney's the waiter. Oh.
I got all this cocaine to do. We're rich now, Wilmer.
Hey, Wilmer, look at my cool business card. Doesn't this ivory font look awesome?
Because we live in the Stone Age, it's actually, it's coke rock, which is, it's crack. We're smoking crack, Wilmer.
And it's delicious.
We have to have it in rock form because it's the Flintstones.
Yep.
Moral rot and capitalism go hand in hand, even in the Stone Age.
Eight ball. No. It's called a boulder.
Boulder. Betty's feeling very uncomfortable with the whole situation.
At this restaurant, which
is... Oh, my God. I can't believe this is what killed John Belushstone.
Cavern on the Green.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they go to Cavern on the Green.
Which... This was one of those dumb moments in IMDb trivia where it's like, in this movie, they go to a restaurant called Cavern on the Green, and Rick Moranis works there. And in Ghostbusters, Rick Moranis' character goes to Tavern on the Green and is eaten by a mystical dog. And you're just like, why? Why did anyone take the fucking keystrokes?
Well, other movies are awesome.
Yeah, if you are watching the Flintstones, you're like, what were other movies like? So, yeah, they have this, it kind of comes to a head here, and Barney winds up punching Fred.
Well, this is after it's revealed that Fred unknowing to Fred because he's an idiot, has signed away a thing where all the dudes quarry get fired because Kyle MacLachlan's whole plan is he's going to introduce this like automated quarry system.
Sure.
And they won't need the people anymore. So there's like a weird news report where the newscaster, by the way, is Lorraine Newman. Why did you even get out of bed for this?
Also, there's television. There is an actual rock broadcasting images.
They have a big screen TV in the house too. And that's a weird thing because most of the shit in this universe exists in ways where they get around electricity, except for like
I
TVs.
I think that's of the show as well, though. Like TVs always existed for some reason.
Yeah, they have headlights. Bizarre. It's really weird.
Yeah,
well, yeah, they do
weird.
Go. They go to a drive-in theater in every episode. Right,
Eric? Did you notice your best friend on one of the TVs?
Oh yeah, dude.
Mr. Popcorn or Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper, also known as Jay Leno.
I did not. I blinked and I missed
Bedrock's Most Wanted or whatever.
I was looking for it all day today on YouTube and I couldn't find it.
He's like doing an Unsolved Mysteries show, essentially.
No, it's like America's Most Wanted.
Oh, but it's the one where they're doing like the fake
reenactment
of the crime.
Yes, I did. I remember the reenactment of the crime. Yes, yes.
So, I totally missed those. Speaking of blinking, you miss it. But they have like there's a dude who plays like the TV movie version of Fred.
Sure.
There's someone who plays the TV version of Kyle MacLachlan. And I don't know if this was supposed to be a deleted scene. I did not see it, but it was supposedly Sam Raimi.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
No, I think they cut it. They must have cut it.
I was looking for Sam Raimi the entire time, and he doesn't like pop back up. And I was like, maybe they'll go back to that TV movie.
That's a fake shemp right there.
Now time for me to get some sweet, sweet.
Mr. Simpson, no!
So Wilma winds up leaving Fred at this point because she's so disgusted with the way he's acted.
Smashes that house up something good.
Mm-hmm.
All the rebels also move out at this point.
Yeah, the rebels move out. They're homeless, actually. They're living on the street.
Yeah.
It's fucking real, dude.
Time
it got real.
Sell that kid, man.
Yes.
Try to fucking hawk that shit.
Yeah, get that money back.
Yeah, I paid 25,000 clams.
These sick sons of bitches got a kid for the adoption for the money, but now they're living on the street eating ostrich eggs or whatever.
Hire him out. He's an enforcer if I ever
that's
saw
true.
One.
Who, Rick Moranis?
No, Bam Bam. Bam.
Yeah, he's super strong.
Yeah, he could be the heavy.
Get the rock mafia and
it's a rock mafia. but to be fair, though, like, that's something that should happen. Like, or is it like uncouth where like, you know,
kid working for the mafia? I don't know. It's probably happened.
No, like
Simpsons did.
Simpsons did.
If your standing in society goes so low in this BC world, do you like just become a garbage disposal? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, maybe that becomes your job.
Shit. Now I have to work as Fred Flintstone's toilet.
It's a living.
I thought you were almost going for something like The Lobster.
Yeah, a little bit.
Cutting your neighbor's lawn.
Bam.
Which one is going to be my toilet?
Debtor's prison would definitely be
mm-hmm.
toilet school for everyone.
Toilet school. they wind up, it's your beginning of the third act situation. Everything's going down.
There's a weird thing here, though, where Fred figures out what the deal is fucking finally.
Oh, sure.
And Halle Berry goes, Mr. Flintstone, you should run while you have the chance.
Yeah, dude.
So then the rebels are homeless and Wilma is with her mother,
sure.
Ms. Slaghoople. I believe she's a widow.
Oscar winner Liz Taylor.
But then Fred, it's like John Goodman's walking around in this disguise and he runs into a homeless Jonathan Winters.
Goodman in this disguise looks like fucking Tevye, man. It's a real, it's a very specific look. And there's like a gag where there's a wanted poster, which is just the cartoon. Anyone else notice? So he's talking to Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters is drinking like hard whiskey kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But there's it's the most terrifying thing. He's down in the dumps. And who does he run into but his own garbage disposal?
Oh, that's right. Oh,
And it notices him, and it goes,
Flintstone! Flintstone!
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, wow!
Well, because everything else can, like, every, there even is, there's one It's a Living Joke somewhere in here. It's like, this sucks.
This job sucks. It's at the beginning. Oh, no, it's when they're at their lunch break, and this fucking thing is used as a bottle opener. This poor little animal. It's like, ka-crack.
But, I mean, like, everything can talk fine, but this malformed pig garbage disposal that's always wet is just like,
you know why? Here's the thing. When that garbage disposal graduated from disposal high, he had the voice of an angel.
Oh.
But he's been swallowing the fucking Flintstones goddamn detritus and fucking fork collection for the last 10 years.
Also, he's sweating. He's trying to get away from Al the pig butcher who has to take care of all these things.
Dude, I want the guy who's cutting them things up and eating them. Real homeless hard times.
Standalone film, not only of the B-52s, the BC-52s, but also Al the Pig the Butcher.
Only the disposals. I only do pigs.
So they catch Fred. Everyone's looking because the whole town's out of work, essentially.
Yep.
Because, you know, capitalism doesn't care about money. It just it doesn't care about, like, what it's doing to the society. The society has crumbled at this point. Yeah, literally no one has a job.
As long as the bottom line is increasing, you know, automate that shit.
Jeff Beeswax or whatever the fuck.
Well, you got fucking Bernie Sandstone, man, talking about all the 1%s taking it all away from the rest of the goddamn cavemen.
And then you got all these other fucking cavemen doing parentheses Bernie Sandstone around them. You know, those, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it's not fair that Mr. Slate makes so much money and nobody else gets a fucking fair shake.
Fred Flintstone, he works hard every day. Nothing.
We need to unionize the appliances.
Oh, yeah, that's what
they've suffered enough.
That's what the mission would be.
Oh, my God, there's no difference between what he's saying and Joseph Stolen.
Then
we need a Soviet Union in this show. Yes.
Well, there is one line about which brought up a whole world of possibilities where they're like talking about Fred's intelligence earlier on in the film and like, oh, he's no Albert Einstein, which means Albert Einstein exists. That so did the Nazis exist?
They had
Nazis
to.
Existed.
The Roxies, dude.
The Operation Paperclip happened and they got Nazi Roxy scientists into the United States to help us walk faster when we drive our fake cars or whatever.
And they just finally got Commander Ike Rock.
Anybody seen that movie?
No.
Yeah.
That's, you know, maybe
Operation Finale or whatever.
That's right.
Maybe if everyone in the world is like, dude, it's the best movie you'll ever see. Maybe.
I felt bad because you could get a whiff of that desperation. I kept getting like, I'll get emails that are like, you're invited to an exhibitor screening of X. I got a bunch. I've never had this happen that were like, by the way, just a reminder, haven't RSVP'd for that Operation Finale screening yet. And I'm like, and I'm not going to delete. Yeah. Now we get to the most uncomfortable part of the movie. So the town comes with their pitchforks and torches and whatnot. And
which in its own right is a fine joke. Like that's an old tried and true.
Of course it is.
That lets you know that you're on the outs, right?
It could be Frankenstein. That's what the Frankenstein imagery is.
But until that's all fine until you just gently toss a rope over a tree. And you're like, wait, what's happening in this movie? And then it's a weird, like, Barney's next job is he's an ice cream truck driver, and he pulls up to this crowd, and he's like, oh, hey, Barn. And fucking Rick Moranis is like, what are you doing? And John Goodman utters the line, I'm getting lynched!
Before that, even.
Yikes.
Oh, good thing I'm wearing white. I'm an ice cream man.
Yeah.
Before that, there's a chant of string 'em up.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, there is.
That's,
and then they're gonna also lynch Barney with them because they're associates. This is very, very bizarre.
Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jonathan Winters just starts going, if I was a stone man. A bitty, 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 bitty.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, it's, that would be pretty cool.
It's weird, man. It gets dark.
Very
it's
bizarre.
Very weird.
Wilma saves the day, and then literally leaves the movie. She saves the day because she's like, you know, the Dicta bird probably knows all about this fiendish plot. Let's steal him. And, you know, that's fun. So then the Dicta bird tells everybody. And no one, you know, the Dicta bird apparently is unimpeachable. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Well,
You could probably reprogram. Hey, Bird, say this.
That's what's
yo, Bird.
That's the thing is like they treat it like it is like you said like an unimpeachable entity.
Yeah.
But it's a conversational animal.
Yeah.
It could lie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I think he has to preface it with like, I fucking hate this guy. Yeah. He's an idiot. But here's what went down. It's like the code of the Dictabird, I think.
It's like that movie, The Rocks of Others. Everyone's Dictabirding everybody else.
I'm listening to everyone get their rocks off.
Oh, well done.
So Kyle MacLachlan decides to introduce child death to this movie.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Well, we just had fucking lynching. Why not?
Welcome addition, honestly.
It's a step in the right direction.
Get rid of the lynching. Up the child death.
Sure.
Show me him like warming up to kill the Flintstone and rubble children by killing other children.
One thing to threaten, you know, child death. This is like worse than what the Yellow King did. This they're throwing them into this like thing that's gonna bash them to death essentially.
Did anyone notice the scene?
I didn't see the videotape though. That dude sees that heavy set gentleman watches on the boat. I wish I saw that.
Fred, oh Fred, god damn it. Fred, you just get a close up of Fred Flintstone. Ah!
That guy the Yellow King could have played Fred Flintstone. That dude was huge.
Oh yeah, he was actually.
Did anybody notice in this scene when Kyle MacLachlan steals the kids, his eyes are really dark and he has like longer hair for some reason? It's really weird.
Oh,
I think that's
fuck.
Mr. C, dude.
Yeah.
Mr. C Rock.
Oh, yeah. We didn't go to the Moose Lodge, he went to the Black Lodge, Bon.
Brett Flintstone.
The B-52s are playing at the Bang Bang Club.
Well,
No, I don't, Ray, I don't need the Dictabird. I don't need anything, Ray. I want the Dictabird. And you're going to get it to me.
What year BC is this?
Yabba-dabba-doo!
How's Annie?
Yeah, so the kids have been kidnapped. They come home. Elizabeth, this is a good gag.
Yes,
Elizabeth Taylor is fucking hogtied on the floor, as is Dino. Fred steps over the mother-in-law to untie the CGI dinosaur and then keeps leaving her on the floor and walking over. I was laughing.
It's funny. It's a fun joke. He finds out that his kids are kidnapped. They go back to the quarry. This is a bring the Dictabird. You get to save your children from a gruesome death.
This is where it's the I should have signed with Disney.
Yes,
line.
Yes.
This bird farts into the camera.
Was they're like, hey, Dictabird, we'll figure out how to save you after we save the kids.
Was that a reference to Gilbert Gottfried's role in Aladdin? Like how like a cultural phenomenon that bird was.
And oh, could have been.
Jafar's bird, yeah. Whatever it's called.
No, Iago.
This yeah. Bird saw the future. He's like, oh, dude, every single cultural property will be with Disney. I should have signed with them.
And then in the weirdest moment, so we have this like quarry battle, there's like kind of a fight or whatever, and then a thing, like I know we're just transferring present day things to sure. Stone Age times and whatnot, but the move probably should be, you know, let's not have guns in this world.
The gun is weird.
It is weird. It's like a Dennis the Menace rubber band gun, yeah. Kind of shooting marbles at people. It's just unnecessary. How about a hammer?
Yeah, that'll do it.
You're cavemen. Have a hammer or a fucking bat. Where's Bam Bam's bat?
Barney puts himself in a sling.
I was just picturing like a casino-esque scene now.
Don Rickelrock gets beat to shit. Dom-a-rock! Barney jumps into a catapult, tries to save the kids, gets knocked out. That's sort of something.
It is something.
But whatchamacallit, Mrs. What's-her-face, Miss Stone, Halle Berry, who is, she's very funny throughout the whole movie.
She's great in this movie. Yeah.
She knocks over Kyle MacLachlan and to save Fred, and he's like, oh, Miss, and it's like this weird erotic tension. He's like, oh, Miss Stone, you're so bad. And she's like, I know, Mr. Flintstone.
It's yeah. Well, dude, in another time, in another place, man, if Wilma Slag Hoople had never come into the picture.
Thank God I'm wearing this thick tent. You'd see my veiny caveman cock.
See, he should have been tapping.
Well, no, listen, there was so much hair down there because they're less evolved that it's just, it's a net. It's like, the thing is like tied in there.
Oh, hey, Miss Stone, I'm freeballing under this pelt.
Got a sharp rock to cut some of the brush away.
Also, Kyle MacLachlan is defeated by bowling.
Yes, that's right.
John Goodman rolls a strike and hits this dude. Also, a totally unexpected situation here. Kyle MacLachlan covered in concrete and murdered.
Oh, right.
Completely murdered.
Just dead to do rights.
Breathes that, like, just...
Concrete's in his lungs.
Yeah, it's in his lungs.
It's like the end of Snake Eyes.
It's disgusting.
But with Kyle MacLachlan, you can't ever be sure. Is that him? Or is that another one? You never know.
Doppelganger.
Really doppelganger. Doppelganger rock.
Now say it backwards.
But yes, he is murdered at the end of... Like, and I get it. It's like that's what happens at the end of the movies, kind of. But it happens at the end of Adam's Family, but that makes a little more sense. Darker tone.
Oh, we are laughing about the specter of death through both of those movies.
Well, no, I mean, you remember in the prequel, in Viva Rock Vegas, they have Agent Vandercave. And he's helping them out everywhere. Eating pie. It's pretty. It's a nice little scene.
It's just bizarre in this... more or less children or family film to have your villain breathing in concrete till dead.
And like, and with no one cares either. Like,
why would you?
You know, the cops come and they arrest Sharon Stone and she's like, oh, you know, maybe they'll be lenient on you and there's a little more sexy flirting.
Well, yeah, we should mention there's a weird thing where like Kyle MacLachlan has turned on her and is going to take all the money and go to Rockapoco. And he's like, he does the old excuse. I'll go down there first to check it out and I'll, I don't know, send for you at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why would you not bring her? What are you doing down there?
It's a great question. What do you expect to happen?
Don't to split the cash.
I guess so.
Or I'm sorry, the pebbles or whatever the fuck they're flinging at each other.
But you missed it. This is Chris's point, which I agree with. So Mr. Slate comes out. He finds the husk of Kyle MacLachlan, his once friend, and he's like, Flintstone! What a great idea. I'll call it concrete. It'll make a billion space rocks or whatever rocks, whatever the bullshit.
Shells.
And, you know, he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to make you the head of production, this, that, the other thing. And, like, I get Fred's supposed to learn a lesson. And maybe he should be like, yeah, but only if my buddy Bon here can come with me. Or even like, yeah, but then so long as everyone in the shop gets a big raise and da-ba-da-ba. Yeah.
Barn, give the fucking job to Barn. Yes. Just say,
but
hey.
He got the aptitude test right. Yes, he deserves it.
But he's like, you know what? I'm better off being who I am. Who am I to take your money, Mr. Slate? I'll just work in slave labor for the rest of my life.
Hey, Mr. Slate, you got an imbecile son, don't you? Why don't you give him the job? He would do great in that position.
He does negotiate.
Well, even better, does your friend have a son? He should get the job, too.
Is he 19? Great.
Fred does make sure that like the workers get 2 weeks paid vacation, which I guess is something. I mean, it's not enough, but I guess this is the very early collective bargaining.
And it's called he calls it a cost of living increase. Like, no, ask for like a 10% raise or 20% raise.
Also,
cost of living, that's 3%, dude.
Yeah. He also created modern art, essentially. The first sculpture.
He's the first. He's
the
Damien,
first artist, Fred fucking Flintstone.
He's Damien Hirst now.
And I mean, it is. It's exactly what a fucking like tycoon would want, a fucking living person that's dead in their office forever.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Like someone comes in and you're trying to regale them with how cool your office is. And it's like, see that statue over there? If you took a hammer to that thing, There's a person inside.
You see that statue over there? He used to work here.
Yeah, a taxidermied like pizza man. A little tasteless, but something like that.
If you're in the Slade offices late at night, you just might hear him scream.
Oh, what were you saying about a raise? Oh, yeah, you want to leave. That's right. Mr. Slate, by the way, looks a little bit like Dana Carvey's Mr. Turtle in this movie.
Oh, yes, he does.
With these ridiculous glasses and Dan Florek's round head.
It's kind
of remind
great.
Me of that movie.
What?
Master, you're talking about Master of Disguise,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, you don't want to be reminded of Dana Carvey's Master of Disguise?
Turtle. Hey, Cabin. Turtle.
Stop! One day.
No. Pistachio Disguise is, I believe, the character's name.
Jesus.
Yak.
And then we just go into the theme song again.
Sure. You know, the weirdest thing about both the cartoon and this movie, there's always this cat that's taken out.
You never see the cat. No.
Yep.
Which is very bizarre because the cat always immediately jumps back inside. So presumably the cat's in there at all times.
Yeah. Or you think, hey, this is a show about a cat because the cat wins.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't, you know, like some cats, like you just have them around, man. You never see those things.
Did you notice on the IMDb, this is the first time fur was used for CGI. It was for that cat.
Oh, wow. And you saw it for all of 5 seconds in this movie. Yeah.
Hey, Steven, could you send me that disc? That floppy disk.
Send me the floppy disk with the hair code on it, Steven.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gorge. You want...
it's George. God don't damn be a dick.
I'm sorry. You want Spielrock. You've got the wrong number.
Listen, God damn it. Chewbacca's supposed to be younger in this one, so he needs more fur.
That's cute. That's fucking cute, Gorge.
You know, someday, Steven, when you least expect it, I'm going to kill you in your sleep. Then we'll see who's on top.
Well, come at me, Bullfrog.
I hate that guy so much.
Did you know he didn't even go to film school? I mean, come on.
I directed fucking Tar Wars, goddammit.
That's not even his real hat.
Is he still on the phone?
Prank call.
That's the end of the movie. That was the end of the Flintstones, 1994.
Would you
recommend it, Steve Zadek?
I would not. It is a watch it. It's a big fat watch it. It's a bizarre movie.
Right.
I don't think there's a better version of this movie also. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes we watch, it's like, oh, I would watch a movie about the Flintstones, but it would have to look like this.
Right.
I think this is the best it could ever get.
Yeah. Where does this rank as far as TV shows into movies?
Oh, my God. Well, Does anyone have a scroll?
Do you have a
with
list
that?
With
yeah.
you? Or are you just throwing this out?
Well, no, just off the top of my head, because, like, Bewitched is terrible.
The
this Honeymooners with Cedric the Entertainer is terrible.
They haven't done Green Acres yet. You know what? Actually, I'm going to say no.
Dog shit.
That sucks.
I got one, guys. I got one. Autofocus. Excellent film based on a TV show.
SWAT is worse.
Yes. SWAT's bad.
Starsky and Hutch is
that sucks.
The Brady Bunch is good, but it's a little too cute by half. But
well,
it's
the
better.
Addams Family. That's the one.
I think that's
got
to be. That's like that's what you aspire to be. Is the Addams Family?
There's got to be more though. There's got to be better.
I like the Jetsons movie. I'll be honest.
No, but we're talking live action adaptations.
Okay, fine.
I will say real quick a really good comic series that came out last year of the Flintstones by Mark Russell. It's really funny and really smart. It's like a weird.
Oh no, Bon! It's colon cancer.
It's like sharp satire. It's really really.
Is
good.
It?
Yeah, it's really good. I have the book.
Is it like sanctioned?
Yeah, no, it's by DC. DC did it. And art is great, and it's just very like smart stuff about modern life and consumerism.
I got a list here. 21 Jump Street. Better than this.
Good movie.
Marmaduke, much worse.
Was that a television show? Wow, I'm a big dog.
Wasn't it a comic strip?
Didn't they do a cartoon?
Oh, wow, look at my big dog dick.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, nope. Ebe.
Some of these are just like wrong. Like I'm not counting Babylon 5. That's not as a TV movie, dude.
Hey, dude.
Probably.
Hey, buddy. Theatrical release or bust.
Like this list says Batman. Well, Baywatch is on here. That's terrible.
That's awful.
That's wretched. But they're always
Beverly
bad.
Hillbillies. That's a stay tuned.
Oh, Ben, the Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah. I guarantee you, I've seen that movie at least 1,500 times.
What? I've never even seen it.
Oh, really? Because it was a classic Jupin family mistake of we taped this off TV and we're going to run that VHS into the ground.
I remember the Dolly Parton cameo, chef's kiss.
I appreciate Diedrich Bader eating a huge Subway party sub all to himself.
Also, yeah.
Anything
Charlie's
else?
Charlie's Angels. Those are bad.
Yeah, those are bad, but they're more fun.
They're better than
the first one's fun.
Chips.
Not good.
Jeez, I was like, wait, that was a movie? Oh, yes, it was.
Dark Shadows is pretty good.
Yeah, I like Dark Shadows.
All right, let's not sit here all day. Yeah. The point is, I think the thing to aspire to is Adam's Family.
Dragnet. I love the Dragnet movie.
Yeah, because you're wrong.
Chris, what would you recommend this one?
I would not. It's kind of Jurassic World rules. Watch it once.
Yes, I agree with that.
See what it is. But like, also, we didn't get it. Like the product placement is ridiculous.
This is the birth of the McRib, motherfucks.
Baskin Robbins had a lot of money in this. Marshall Fields.
The fuck is Marshall Fields?
The fucking
used to be like a Sears or something.
Yeah,
right?
It was like
Marshall's.
A Sears. Yeah,
oh,
it's like
Marshall's.
Yeah.
The fuck is the field?
It was
That's
originally his
full
Marshall's
name, motherfucker.
Field.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Chris Cabin grew up in fucking 1953.
I interned
at the fucking Marshall Fields lunch counter. You fucking maniac.
Yes, and I interned at the Nick.
By the way, I found the actual best movie adapted from a television show, The Fugitive.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
there's also, I haven't seen them, but The Equalizers is also...
Not good. Not
oh, no, The no, Saint, no. Speaking of spy movies, Mission Saint Impossible.
Right. Mission Impossible
might be there, yeah. Eric Sisko, would you recommend this movie?
No, this was not good at all, and I didn't like it. Thanks.
Wow, pretty straightforward. We'll see you tomorrow, Eric.
It's a tight 90, though.
It is.
I don't care.
It's short. Listen, I'm going to recommend this
movie.
Speaking
of The Fugitive, by the way.
I don't care.
Victor, the Flintstones is 90 minutes long.
I don't care. I would totally recommend this movie. It's 90 minutes long, which is fantastic.
You're insane.
I think it's a hangover movie. And here's the thing. Yeah. Aside from the bad chunky cheese animatronics, man... It's not a cheap movie. Like, everything had to be built from something.
Yes.
Which I think is really impressive about this movie. The production design is not something you could slack on. Do you have another one? Is that
Yes, Mission Impossible. That might be the winner.
We said it. Oh. I think you were fucking fist deep in that Wikipedia list.
Maverick? Lost in Space?
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, we will be
turning into that Forrest Gump bit.
Mr. Bean is better than this.
Mr. Simpson, when I say hello, Mr. Thompson, and step on your foot, you fucking say my name is Eric Siska.
My name is Eric Siska. This has been We Hate Movies.
That's The Flintstones, directed by Brian Levant. If you want more WHM, check out WHMpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network.
Oh, Naked Gun.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Subscribe today for hours of additional We Hate Movies content. Rate and review on iTunes or wherever you get us. We'd greatly appreciate
Ready Player One on Patreon.
September's bonus ep, Steven Spielrock's Ready Player One.
Yes, it's tying into this, The Flintstones.
Steve Sadek, what do we have going on next week on the program?
It's kind of a long-term stay tuned for us. It's Patrick Stewart's Mastermind.
Oh, yes.
Die Hard in a Prep School. One of my favorite Die Hard in a Prep School movies, the other of which, another stay tuned, Toy Soldiers.
And I believe this movie has crazy 90s fake hacking in it, which is a sweet spot for me.
And the hacker is, I believe, Vinnie Kartheiser.
Yes.
Yep.
Sick Vinnie Kartheiser.
Look at that. So until next week with sick little Vinnie Kartheiser, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadrock.
Chris Cabin.
I'm Eric Sistone. Is that what you
that
wanted?
That was the right
That's
one.
What you wanted.
That's the one. Right.
Eric Sistone.
Sure, that works. Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.